This episode was originally recorded in November 2025. Let's get into it.
They've got this little beard here. And when he gets all cantankerous, all cranky, or you've got a big mouth too, he opens up his mouth and shows this beard, and that's a sign of toughness. I am so tough. Stay away from me or I'm going to bite you.
You know, people are entitled to their sexual proclivities. You know, I mean, let there be a thousand blossoms bloom as far as I'm concerned. You know, but I ain't spending any time on it, because in the meantime, every 3 months, a person is torn to pieces by a crocodile in North Queensland.
See that chap over there? Get your hand off my penis!
All right, chums, how the bloody hell are you doing? Electric? Oh, me? Yeah, man. I've been fucking well. I've been living well, guys. I've just come back from a really, really nice trip. A manic trip, but a nice one. And yeah, we're talking like 6 flights in 10 days, that kind of trip. So here, there, everywhere. And I've seen a bit more of Australia, caught up with some friends, been nice. And I thought I would talk you through it because, why not? And yeah, I'm such a lucky bastard, man. A few years ago, I think back in 2020 and stuff, like this was the dream, you know, being back out in the world and seeing nice stuff and, you know, taking pictures that I'm never going to organize and having a little slice of the ideal. So I'm already living away, and then being able to go away from being away is like, yeah, it's insane. Like, if anything, it's kind of, I went further away from where I am now, and it was like visiting home, even though it was further from home. Whatever. Just, you know, I don't know. But yeah, fucking hell, if I was ever, you know, properly rich, I think that'd be it for me, you know, like all day, every day, like up early, then like out on tours and shit, flying around. Anyway, yeah, I'd have a big carbon footprint is what I'm saying. And, you know, getting the pocket of big carbon. And yeah, I like when people use, when you say big whatever for something when they're talking about a kind of like the rulers or the establishment or whoever, like, oh yeah, he's in the pocket of big oil, they're a shill for big business, you know, like big tech, big dick. Oh, he's just carrying water for big dick, you know. I think he's just jumped into bed with big dick. But, the most prevalent one, I think it's Big Pharma, isn't it? That's the main one. You know, all the doctors are working for Big Pharma. And, you know, it's a nice shortcut, but it always just makes me think of a Big Pharma. Maybe I've said this before. Hello there. You know, I'm about to go and get ready for the harvest. This kind of thing. But, yeah, I'm sure that was in series one somewhere. But anyway, Australia. And I feel like before I go into this trip, I'm going to give you my Australian history. That's going to be this one. So, yeah, being organised and having, having prep now, it means I've actually got my Facebook here, and I'm going to go through some of the pictures to help me along. I think I'll just talk you through my previous trips and that, and then I can talk through this one and we can have a bit of fun. So I've over the years been really lucky, say it again, and I managed to see quite a lot of Australia. And the first time I went was I did a working holiday. This is about 10 years ago, and at the time I was coming to the end of my time in New Zealand. Fucking love New Zealand. That's I think I've spoke about that before as well. But yeah, New Zealand, my visa was running out and that, and I needed to get some cash. Like, I was just planning to sort of hop around, earn a bit, travel a bit, earn a bit, travel a bit. And Australia was just there, you know. So yeah, I applied for the working holiday that you can get in your youth. And did that. And I ended up flying into Perth. And I stayed there for a while with my friend. Do you remember, you must remember Adam, who I spoke to in an old Tidbits pod. You know, if you haven't heard that one, go back and dig that out. It's, you know, he's a good lad. He's got some stories in that. But I'm not going to retread old ground. Perth was fucking brilliant. You know, like the botanical gardens. And I was there when all the jacarandas were all purple. And it was like being in the blossoms for Japan or something. It was there. It's just so nice. And the whole Southwest was nice, actually. So I think that's still my favourite part. And I explored, all around Perth and Fremantle and Rock Nest and stuff. And then down to Margaret River and all around, like, you know, like Denmark and Albany and all those little towns around the coast and that. And in Albany, that was where I based myself for a little while. I was going to do my farm days. So, spent my time picking raspberries and asparagus for this fucking mental old man who called everyone Horace, like this old British guy, awful. And he told me a story about a previous backpacker employee that had been there, and they got bitten on his farm. And this guy, or whatever, the actual guy that got bitten, he didn't see the animal that bit him. So from the size of it or whatever, the doctors assumed it was a spider bite and not a snake bite, or whatever the order was. Like, they got the animals confused. And then they gave him, I shouldn't be laughing, this is horrible, but they gave him the wrong medicine. And apparently this guy, like, it fucked up his kidneys. So there's a nice little story for you. But that's the thing with raspberries, you know. They say to be safe, you're not supposed to put your hands where you can't see or whatever, or at least wear gloves. But you're reaching in to a fucking hedge, and you can't wear big gloves because then you're going to squash all the fruit. So you just have to kind of, like, be double vigilant all the time. And you're just taking mad risks. But that was good. And always be careful picking. Look before you put your hand in the spaces. Oh, I don't know what it is. But I'm sure there are other outlets for raspberry picking advice. That's probably another strand of podcast you can get your teeth into elsewhere. But I spent a while there, and then I ended up traveling up the West Coast. You know, West Coast is best coast, working my way between all the little towns and that. And that was really nice, kind of just little jobs up, sort of working my way. And it was in this little spell that, this is whenever people ask me about the worst job I've ever had, I tell them about, like, I can't even fucking remember where it was, but I've done some shitty jobs, like literal shitty jobs in some cases. And this is what I always tell people is the worst one, because that's what people ask for, isn't it? The superlatives. What's the best? What's the worst? Give me a list. But this one, I think, is sort of easy to describe. And Like, yeah, let's set the scene. So, lemon smelling stuff in your bathroom or your kitchen or whatever, like that, the smell in that is actually not from lemons. At least this is what I'm told. It's like the lemon smell actually comes from this fucking bush. And I should know the name of this bush. But anyway, what they do is they take the leaves and they dry them in this special thing. And then it was my job, like up and me and some backpackers or whatever. And we had to put the different grades of these dried leaves into bags. And, well, bear in mind that each leaf is about the size of a thumbprint. And we were paid by the kilo of these leaves. So you're just there and there's a big pile. And you had to sort them into five quality grades. So you've got five bags in front of you. And like you're just picking up, checking leaves and just throwing them into these endless massive bags. And, you know, like one by one, throwing them in. Okay, this is a 3. This is a 2. Ooh, actually, this one's got a little bit of, I don't know, chafe around the right flank. So that's more of a borderline 3-4 or whatever. And you sort of grain them, but you just, 1 second, throw, throwing all the leaves in. And then when you've accumulated a kilo in one of the bags, you like you ring a little bell or whatever. And then the lad comes by. And then he checks the weight, and then he will then double check if he agrees with your grading. And if he doesn't, then the leaves just get dumped back into your pile. And you know, it's like being micromanaged or whatever. And there'll be, because obviously you're just 1 second decisions. Like, okay, that's a 5, that's a 2, that's a 1, that's a 3, whatever. And then they'll hold up just one that you've probably, you know, looked at about 20 minutes before, and they'll go like, oh yeah, what do you think about this one? You put it in the 3 bag, but I think this one could actually go into the 2. What do you think? And then, oh yeah, I don't know. Like if he didn't then agree, then yeah, just smash it back in your pile, and you only get paid for the approved kilos. Oh, that was just fucking mental. But yeah, anyway, up the West Coast, fucking beautiful, blah 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 blah. And then I went to like Coral Bay and stuff, and the Ningaloo Reef, and like really, really beautiful places, you know, like whale sharks and all that. But I just didn't really gel with the people there. Like it was all sort of, I don't know, but the actual place was fucking beautiful. So Coral Bay, Ningaloo Reef, if you get the chance to go there, fucking go there. It's, in my opinion, it is nicer than the Great Barrier Reef. Like this is, it's lush. Like over that side is really, really nice. But, you know, it's all nice, isn't it? Amazing. And the beaches up that coast, damn, like insane. I'm not really a beach guy, but yeah, these are amazing. Like, amazing. As if, like, the East as well. It's all amazing. But, yeah, I was going up, and I ended up going to Broome for a little while. That's where I sort of settled again. And Broome was really fucking cool, actually. I wasn't expecting, you know, you don't really hear about it, but, like, they've just got loads of camels, and they've got this thing called the Stairway to Heaven, where you look at the moon in the right way, and it sort of reflects. It's just really beautiful. And yeah, I think, you know, you could be in a place, and if it's got good people there, it sort of just adds that extra thing. So yeah, obviously just that's the potluck of anywhere you go, you know. So probably Coral Bay is probably nicer, but I liked the people I was with in Broome more, so I ended up just having a higher opinion of, I don't know, I just really liked it because of the people there that I was spending my time with. But obviously they've all moved on. But yeah, really, really beautiful. And around Broome as well, they've got this this dinosaur coast where you can go and see footprints and that. And that was really amazing. Like you're just out there, and you can find the footprints, and it's not all fenced off and that. So, yeah, really nice. And yeah, if you do go there, just yeah, respect it all and keep it nice and whatever. And yeah, I wonder if these places are appreciating my little summaries. You know, it's always just fucking the most obvious thing. Be like, oh yeah, and then I went to London and I saw the River Thames, and then went to fucking Beijing and saw one of my top three walls. Top three walls, by the way. Great Wall of China, the Berlin Wall, and then, of course, the ice cream company, of course, has got to be a hard first. But, yeah, Broome was nice, and in Broome, I went to the world's oldest outdoor cinema. There's a little tidbit for you. So go there, lap it up. I think it was at the time, it was like, I think it had just turned 100 actually at the time. So it's fucking old. Hopefully it's still running. And then, yeah, the money ran out and I thought, right, I'm going to say, because I was always saving the East Coast. I was like, right, I'm going to build up to it. I'll build up. I'm not just going to go straight in. I'm going to go around and then I'll build up to the big one. So that was when I first went to Melbourne, and I was going to settle there for a while. So I tried fundraising, which was my sort of forte at the time. That was what I was good at. That's what I knew. So yeah, but it was just fucking very, very hard in Melbourne. And yeah, I was trying to get these little groups going and that. I had this thing called the Raising Squad, but obviously I was the old fucker pushing what was already quite an old reference. I'm going, oh, Raising Squad. They're like, yeah, yeah. And yeah, whatever. It wasn't great. So struggled in Melbourne. And then I got a message from my mate Anders, who I haven't spoken to for a while. This beautiful kind of Danish lad, big lad, who was, yeah, I met him in New Zealand, and he was like, yeah, there's work in a place called Wyandra. And fucking hell, Wyandra is in the middle of the fucking arse end of the arse end of Australia's fashionable southwestern Queensland regions. And, you know, I've talked about this a lot. I wrote a whole thing about this. You know, I was there making charcoal, and I've got a thing. It's on tibballstravels.com. I've got a whole, you know, there's stories and what it was like there and everything. And yeah, it was the hardest thing, but the best thing I think I did in Australia. You know, the thing that gives you the most stories and you've got the most sort of, yeah, it was the most sort of worthwhile thing I did. No, it was like the thing I enjoyed most, actually. It was hard, but you sort of, because it's hard, you really sort of bond with people, because you're all just, you know, you work all day, and then when you come back, you're like sharing war stories and that. So yeah, amazing. And have a read of that. And yeah, then I was jumping back. I then went out to visit some friends and that. I think I went to Bali and somewhere in the timeline there was trips out to Philippines as well. Saw my sister and brother. But yeah, to keep it strictly Australia, let's jump to Sydney, because then, yeah, it was time for the East Coast. And I was really excited about the East Coast. I was like, oh my God. Like when I was first going in, you know, there's that train station in Sydney where you can get in on the train and it goes round the whole bay. You know, you've got the Sydney Opera House and the, like the Harbour Bridge and that. But from Sydney, I remember I was traveling up the East Coast and I was just, you know, I'd saved up a bit. So I was just coasting on the funds for a little bit. But for me, like, the East Coast was just fluids. Like, you know, I'm staying in hostels and every night either was people bleeding or fucking or throwing up, tears, you know, just liquids. And would I have been? I would have only been about 27 at the time, but it all, I already felt fucking ancient, like going up the coast. And obviously, incredible beauty, like untouchable, you know, like the some of the best natural stuff to see in the world and animals and stuff. But oh God, yeah, it was hard. It was tough, but yeah, loved it. And yeah, I went all the way up, you know, past the Barrier Reef, like up to Queensland, and then all the way up to the Daintree and stuff, like where Steve Irwin got stingrayed and all that. Like, it was, I did the whole east. And yeah, then that was Australia for the first time, the first chunk, let's call it. So then came back, worked for a bit, you know, I was doing some bits, then COVID and blah 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 blah. And then yeah, the next time I went back wasn't until Jimmy Thompson's wedding out in the out in the Blue Mountains. Bit of blue for dads. Or stand back from the edge of the platform or you might get sucked off. Oh, bring the train! Bring the train! I'm ready! I'm ready! Oh, he's gonna be good, man. He's gonna be good. He's blue. He's blue. Yeah, I think we flew in for the New Year's Eve to meet the families, and then we went to this lovely little it was like a village hall thing. Well, it had that vibe anyway. You know, when you just get all the generations in the same room, and it was kind of like a pre-wedding thing for New Year's Eve. And they'd booked it out and they knew all the people in there and everything. And yeah, we were just, I remember just sitting by this window and looking out, and you could see all the, you know, you could, I think it was Coogee Beach or whatever. And yeah, you could see all the fireworks and stuff outside, but the real fireworks were inside. We're all just messing about. And yeah, it was just nice as well to just see. I was talking about little Jimmy Thompson a lot in series one, and yeah, like it was just nice to see how he'd settled in that and built his life there and everything. And he was, you know, it was all like a proper, and all his family had obviously flown out. And yeah, no, I think I remember, yeah, December 31st, that's Shirley's birthday. So JT's mum. So we had it was a countdown for it not being her birthday. And I don't think she liked that. I was like, yeah, it's not going to be your birthday in 5, 4. Yeah. Anyway, but like the Blue Mountains, fucking hell. Like, I remember I got into Jay's place, met his dog, Queen Ruby, who I've seen a million pictures of. And yeah, went there, annoyed everyone, and then went out for this day tour. Like, I went to Sydney Zoo and saw the animals, ate more pies and that, and then out to the actual Blue Mountains themselves, where this guy just had it all just nailed, you know. Like, he was saying, right, go here, then you go here, and then you see this, and you go here. And we're just walking through this beautiful, yeah, like all the old rainforesty sort of the old trees and the old forests and that. Went on the world's, I think it's the world's steepest railway, or it's, I think it's a funicular, or it is a railway technically. It's like an old sort of mining cliff or something. I've got a picture here that's saying about an old steam clock as well. But yeah, go there, see some clocks, fill your boots. It's fucking cool there. And yeah, went on some walks with our mate Sharpie, and yeah, it's just beautiful, like the Blue Mountains and all that. And then obviously the wedding itself, you know, what can you say? Just incredible. And I remember yeah, like the whole vibe around it. Like, we were going around the beaches, me, JT, and Chip, and yeah, just eating a load of palms. And my God, yeah, we had you know, all of our old lot went there. I think it was the best men, like JT's mate Imaginary Nick was there, and yeah, just good times. Good times. That was 2024? Yes, it was 2024. The Facebook pictures have dried up now, so I'm sort of winging it through my pictures here. And then, yeah. Okay, so that was 2024 for the wedding stuff. And then back later in 2024 to see the fam, and fucking hell, beautiful stuff. So yeah, it was just really nice, like seeing everyone settled and that. I was seeing, you know, obviously my brother's there with the family and everything, but my mum and dad flew over and they were like, yeah, just pop down, you know, you're on that side of it, only 9 hours away, sort of thing. But yeah, that trip was fucking amazing, actually. So yeah, my brother's a policeman out there, and he picked me up from the airport, and we went straight from the airport, fresh off the plane, to a gun range. And it was just in just like a normal building that you would just, at home it would be like a fucking Curry's or something, or no, it'd be more like one of those places where you'd have like go-kart tracks and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, you go in this door, and then it was just a short time. Like these guys were just, I think they were just backing because he's a policeman, that they could just bring in some dickhead. You know, there's me. I've never fired a gun properly before or anything. And yeah, we're just in this room, and the guy goes, yep, press here for this. This little thing here is the trigger. Shoot at that. Off you go, sort of thing. And fucking hell, yeah, just mashing up these targets and that. That was sick. And yeah, and then I had the time with the family, and went to Australia Zoo, and yeah, it was fucking just another whirlwind. And then on the tail of that one, yeah, went to Tasmania, and yeah, met up with little Jimmy Thompson again. Two visits to him that year, and yeah, that trip in Tasmania, that was one of the best trips I've ever had. And God, thinking about it now, I'm looking through the pictures, and I've just been reminded of a pie there that was so good that it fucking made me cry a bit. You know what I mean? Like thug tears, proper ugly, well, probably like gravy tears or whatever. You know, like, nah, 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 hey, 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 good pie. Serious, like, and it was just the right amount of everything, you know, like one of those little, you got a little sauce sachet with it, and a lemonade, and yeah. And in Tasmania, we got a recommendation from this guy in Hobart, and yeah, we went, he recommended we go over to Bruny Island or whatever, and that was beautiful. We had oysters, and you know, we saw the lighthouses and all that, went over on the little ferry, that was great. And then East Coast up to the Wineglass Bay and stuff. And yeah, love that trip. And that brings me to this one. Yeah, the mad one that I was talking about at the beginning, you know, with the six flights, the 10 days or whatever. And I've got a bit sidetracked. And yeah, this time I went back with, I had actual money this time, so I could do some of the more expensive stuff that I couldn't do back in the day. And fucking hell, this trip. So I flew down from Taiwan. And as always, if I'm going to go to Australia, I'm always going to go into Brisbane, see my brother and that. And my mum and dad were there again. So I had about 24 hours with them. And it was nice to just have a bit of normality. This is what I'm talking about, the kind of like home away from home. Like, it's further away, but because the family's there, it's more like home or whatever. Like, but it was, yeah, just like, we went to a garden centre and I was just like, yes, like, this is exactly it. You know what I mean? You don't want to be messing about. Like, you want to just be doing sort of, well, normal stuff. And yeah, that was just perfect. And then from there, flew out to Eulara, what's it, the Red Center or whatever, which always, that sounds like a shop that you could buy Soviet memorabilia. But yeah, so I spent a few days doing tours of Uluru and Katajuta and, you know, all that stuff, like proper Australia, like beautiful, like amazing, you know. I did a sunset, did this helicopter ride all over the whole national park, and yeah, that was like bucket list stuff. That was fucking different gravy, you know. Like even flying in on the plane was amazing there. Like you're going into the little airport, and I flooped sitting on the right side of the plane, or maybe they just do a full loop so everyone gets the view. But oh god, yeah, you can't beat it really. And yeah, tell you what, actually, yeah, I've got a little I've got a window. You know, if you get the window seat of a plane, I've got a good playlist for you to listen to for the next time you take a flight. And it's all sort of like dreamy music and that. So I'm looking out the window. And yeah, it was just really, really nice. And I'll share that on the Instagram. Why not? Get you all tooled up for your next trip. And anyway, yeah, Uluru and stuff. Polya to all the locals listening. And well, to bring it back down, I saw a Chinese restaurant there called Ayers Wok, a genuine place. I didn't go in, but, you know, it does cash in on the tourists in that town. But what are you going to do, you know? Like, it's the only way you can do it. And, yeah, I was in this lodge, and then you do all your tours from there, and that was really fucking cool. And then yeah, down to Melbourne for our mate Paul's wedding. And well, yeah, yeah. But before that, we went to see the 12 Apostles, like did the Great Ocean Road and stuff. And that was fucking cool, actually, because like I thought from our bookings and stuff that it was just going to be me and my mate Crumble Cottage, because he'd said, right, I'm joining on or whatever. But yeah, turned up at this, it was fucking early in the morning. So, you know, you're not really with it yet. And I was listening to some music. So it turned up and I'm at my meeting point, thinking, right, I'll get myself settled, get a nice seat and whatever. And then, yeah, turn around or get a tap on the shoulder. I can't remember how it worked, but we'd walked down this road and somehow not seen each other. But there was my mates fucking Dino and Greg. Like, they were, oh, God. Yeah, and I'm talking, like, secondary school pillars, you know. Like, these are, like, day ones sort of thing. So just catching up with them, and that was fucking nice. And so it was me, Crumble Cottage, Dino, Greg, and then Greg's girlfriend, Dawn. And we're all just going down the road and looking out the windows and just taking in all this fucking beautiful stuff. Like this sort of, I'm going to say it, like crags and shit. Like in the rocks and animals and fucking, oh my God. Like, yeah, all the birds, mate. There were definitely birds in town. And yeah, serious. So this whole day trip, it was like just a full day of driving, really. And you're just looking out the window and lapping it up kind of thing. And we saw the Round the Twist lighthouse and koalas and, yeah, obviously the 12 Apostles and that, which, yeah, the Vegemite factory. There you go. And then it was on to the wedding, which, yeah, fucking beautiful. And again, catching up with some friends from school and that I hadn't seen for years. And then, yeah, actually at the wedding, right, I was sat next to this guy who I'm pretty sure was one of those like tech billionaire kids you hear about, the tech heads. And you're like, yeah, he said he was involved with like making the app for TFL or something, or the trainline.com, something like that. And now, or I think what he was saying, like he was involved in this project that like he's making AI software that monitors live streams. So he said he's on like TikTok or what one of these streaming sites, Twitch or something like that. And he said that loads of people go onto these things and then they just like fucking shoot themselves or whatever. And he's making software that can kind of sense when something fucked up's happened, and it sort of like automatically notifies the authorities and shuts down the streams, something like that. But it was mad. And but yeah, at this thing, and we were switching meals as well, like, because it was, you know, they serve you sort of every other meal, and we're like, right, if this comes, I want that, and if this, we're gonna do a little trade and that. This guy was like proper, he was amazing, good lad. I can't remember his name. I want to say like Jay or John or Jim, something like that. But yeah, nice guy. Bit like the sort of Fight Club's disposable friends, isn't it? He was good for the meal, and then I've forgotten his name. That's a shame. But yeah, at when I got drunk for the first time in a long while. I don't really drink here, so yeah, that was nice. And ended up walking back to the vineyard that I was staying in, and I was taking what I thought were really like arty pictures of the morning mist and shit. And this wedding was in the Yarra Valley. Like, I didn't really go into Jimmy's wedding either. It was like, yeah, there's only so much you can say about weddings, really. Just you're catching up with people having a fucking good time sort of thing. And yeah, this one was in the Yarra Valley, which not really easy to say, is it? Like red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry, red lorry, yellow lorry. That kind of thing, like Yarra Valley, Yellow Valley, Yarra Valley, Yarra. Have some fun. You know, you can have a little twist of your own tongues there. And yeah, amazing stuff. And then, yeah, lovely wedding. A bit of time back again with JT in Melbourne. And then back to Taiwan, back to the home from home sort of thing. And on the way, I had a little stop in Singapore, which was nice. Good to go back there after all these years. The first time I went there was, what, like 2007? And like last time I was there was before it had the Marina Bay Sands and all that. Well, at least they didn't have it how it is now sort of thing. So I was going there and sort of comparing the old with the new and whatever. Like last time I was there, I was with a... like one of those wind up cameras sort of thing. So I've got, I think it's like two pictures from there. I was just going around, because it was just for an airport layover, but yeah, incredible. And that, guys, is Australia. So yeah, don't forget to read about the charcoal stuff, tibballstravels.com. And again, thanks for listening. See you later.
Nothing can replace.